So I'm just going to continue with the theme from my talk yesterday and try to fill you guys who are not part of the retreat in. So yesterday I was talking about this quote from my teacher Suzuki Roshi. To realize pure mind in your delusion is your practice. If you try to expel the delusion, it will only persist more. Say to yourself, oh, this is just delusion, and do not be bothered by it. Simple, huh? Simple. Sounds simple. Sounds simple. And yesterday I talked about different patterns of delusion, and I talked a little bit about the five major patterns of delusion in Buddhist psychology, the five realms, which some of you are very familiar with and some of you are not familiar with. But even if you're not familiar with them, you're familiar with them. I mean, even if you don't know the categories, you're familiar with this stuff because you're a human being, right? So I'll talk a little bit about those as a review from yesterday. Starting at the bottom, we have the hell realm. We have the hell realm. Maybe I don't need to describe that for you. Probably I don't. And then the next realm up is the hungry ghost realm. And the hungry ghost only has a very narrow throat and a huge belly and is always trying to get food, trying to get emotional support, trying to get sustenance, trying to be loved, but can't fill herself up. Her belly always feels empty. Always feels empty. Then we move up from there to the animal realm, of course, up, down, in between, really. So we moved into the animal realm, sex, drugs, food. Food, drugs, sex, you know, you can any way you want it, any combination, right? And then the fighting spirit or jealous spirit realm, trying to achieve, trying to be the best, trying to be better than my students, even though I can't sit like they can anymore. I got to compensate in some way to be better than them, to be the best, right? So, and then finally the God realm. Finally the God realm. And the God realm is, I got it made. I finally made it. I finally made it. I did. I did compensate for these young whippersnappers. I got it. I'm the man. And then what do you do after that? Well, usually in Buddhist psychology and Buddhist thought, the realm thought, you go right into hell from that. Right? Oh, it's true. It's true. Think about your life. When you've got it, when you finally got it, victory, victory. The more victorious you feel, the more steeply you fall. So those are five primary forms of delusions, with many different iterations with each of them, right? Many different iterations. So, again, Suzuki Roshi, to realize pure mind in your delusion is your practice. So right in our delusion, whatever realm we're in, that's our practice. If you try to expel, get out of that hell realm, get out of that hungry ghost realm, it'll only persist more. Say to yourself, oh, this is just delusion, and do not be bothered by it. He makes it sound so easy, doesn't he? Why does he do that? Because in a way, it is easy. It is very simple. It is very simple. But we need some more complex kind of understanding of it to realize how simple it is. Often. And, of course, this is not a Zen teaching. This is an Indian Buddhist teaching, a Tibetan Buddhist teaching. Zen teaching should include all the Buddhist teaching and all the non-Buddhist teaching and all the teaching in the universe. Why not? Why not? And this is all about the practice of bare awareness, isn't it? Bare awareness. Bare awareness of this delusion. Bare awareness means I'm not bothered by it. I just let it come in. Whatever realm I'm in, I just let it come in. So, but a Zen way of dealing with bare awareness is not to talk about different realms, but to give some sort of pithy, straight answer without much psychological talk or sophistication. For instance, EQ. EQ told all of his students, you guys know this, you know this story pretty well. He told us, all his students, practice bare attention. Practice bare attention. And finally, one of his students said to him, what is bare attention? What is bare attention? What did EQ say? Remember what EQ said, guy? Attention means attention. And the student came back and he said, attention means attention, but give me some help about how to do this attention. And EQ said, attention, attention, attention. That's the whole story. That's it. That's it. Because in Zen, we're afraid that you'll poke your head into it, as Katagiri always used to say. You'll poke your mind into it, and you'll be trying to figure out what realm you're in and how you should deal with that and how you should practice this bare awareness, and then you'll get a headache instead of doing Zazen. Your Zazen will be a headache, Zazen. But on the other hand, it's good to learn this. It's good to learn it. And then let go of it, right? It's, a lot of people have asked me over the years, and I never gave EQ's answer. What is bare awareness? What is shikan taza? Just to sit. Just to shikan, just to do this, just to do that. Shikan, shikan, shikan. This is Japanese Zen. Shikan, what is it? What is it? Bare awareness. What is bare awareness? Well, today I'm going to give the answer. But don't believe me. I'm just going to break a bare awareness up into different parts, okay? I'm going to break it up into different parts. So, the different parts are recognizing, recognizing, accepting, restraining, and returning. Recognizing, accepting, restraining, and returning. Now, if you're really doing all this stuff just naturally, don't pay any attention to this. But if you get stuck, notice if you're leaving one out. Notice if you're leaving one out. Because we have all this emotional stuff that comes in when we sit, all this mental stuff that comes in. If it's not coming in and you're just focused and you're opening up to big mind, forget all this. Just do stupid practice. But you're not always able to do stupid practice, even when you're advanced at this stupidity. And I'm pretty advanced at it, but even I can't always do it. So if you're not advanced in your stupidity yet, as advanced as you like to be, then notice what the different components of bare awareness are. And it'll give you some help, especially when you get stuck in a harbor of anger, a harbor of resentment, a harbor of jealousy, a harbor of depression. Recognize, accept, restrain, and return. Okay? Okay? But let me give two more examples of the realms first. And this is building on what I was saying yesterday. Two examples of the harbors that we create from using these five realms. So I had a friend whom today I'll call Lou. I still have my friend Lou. And Lou spent most of his time, a lot of his time, let's not overdo it, a lot of his time in the hungry ghost realm, especially around Zen. And so in San Francisco, he always wanted to be close to Suzuki, always close to him, pick up his vibe, because he felt so empty inside. I need to be close to him. I need to get his vibe. I need to dwell on his words. I need to hang out with him when I can. Or just, and that's not bad. I mean, we all want that. I wanted that too. But he was so hungry that he just needed that and craved that and never got enough of it. And so then, since he didn't get enough of it, he would go into, he would go from a hungry ghost realm down into a hot hell realm where he'd feel, anxious, mad at Suzuki. Why wasn't Suzuki talking to him more, giving him more support? Why was he just being so unattentive? He'd get mad. Then he'd go from there into a cold hell. Hot hells, cold hells. Oh, just depressed, just like giving up, just hopeless. This guy, Suzuki, he ignores me. I feel ignored by him. So then he went to work with Maizumi Roshi. Maizumi had lots of stuff to give him, he thought. Lots of stuff. From San Francisco to Los Angeles. But he went through exactly the same pattern because he was so needy inside. So needy. And so unable to fill himself up. And Maizumi was, well, I probably better not say too much about this. Maizumi was more kind of out there and give him koans to do. And even a little more emotionally available from his point of view. But then he still didn't get filled up. And Maizumi wasn't really supporting him in the koans from his point of view. He wasn't getting the support he needed. He wasn't even getting he wanted some hard Rinzai direction from Maizumi, and sometimes Maizumi would just be sweet. And that didn't help him. He wanted to be filled up. He could have stayed with Suzuki if he wanted sweetness. But he was empty. He was empty. Not in the emptiness is form kind of way, you guys. That ain't it. Don't get the two mixed up. Everybody gets the two mixed up. They have no relationship, right? Zero. Impoverished, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally impoverished. A lot of us are like that. A lot of us are like that because we didn't get enough nurturance when we were kids. So we're always trying to suck it up from where we can just to get along. Well, then he went to, this is a true story. Then he went to Boulder and practiced with Trungpa. Because this was actually a common, I'm very old. This was a common pattern. This is common. Then he went to Boulder with Trungpa Rinpoche, and so then he learned about the realms, and then he began to see that he was hungry ghosting it. That's what he was doing, and that he was then falling into hell realms, hungry ghosting it, falling into hell realms. And it helped him to see where he was doing those harbors. It helped him. It helped him just to see them, just to say to himself, "Oh, this is just a harbor," and breathe into it and move on or move back to right here. The other example I want to give that I gave yesterday, but I give a little more, is my own father. And so my achievement realm, I'm a fighting spirit realm guy. I'm a jealous God realm guy, and I got it from my daddy. That's where we get these things, from our parents. Or sometimes we don't get them from our parents, but usually we do. I got it from my dad, and my dad was a big time corporate lawyer in San Francisco. Only he wanted to be bigger time. because he's a fighting spirit, right? He wanted to be bigger time. He wanted to be head of all the attorneys. And he only got to be associate general counsel. That means that he was only the associate head of them all. But when he got to be the associate head, he came home, Marge, Tim. I thought to myself, what's that? Associate general counsel? My mother said, Tim, it's really important. You tell Daddy how much you, how proud you are. So I did, but I still had no idea. So he was temporarily in a God realm. I'm associate general counsel. I got all, whatever that was, Southern Pacific Railroad, if you guys want to. I get to move up 3 floors of the building on Market Street. So actually I'm on the top floor of the building. Right? This is the human situation. I'm not putting my dad down. You guys are exactly the same. I'm exactly the same. We're all exactly the same. We may not do it in that material way, but we do it in some way. Every one of us. Every one of us. And then so what would happen to my dad? Well, he would be up there a little bit. Oh, I can remember. I grew up in Palo Alto, but Palo Alto is not classy enough for our jealous spirit. Palo Alto is not classy enough for a jealous spirit? Geez, we're really jealous, aren't we? We got to move to Atherton. Now, you guys don't know California, but Atherton is the place to be. Palo Alto is okay, but if you want to live in a God realm, you move to Atherton. So finally, my dad made enough money so we could move to a God realm, literally. Literally, where we all had gardens and gardeners and maids and everybody, everything, right, in the God realm. Everyone takes care of even the God realm. So we moved into the God realm. But then my dad went down. Everything went way down to the hell realm. Everything. Because the God realm never lasts. You can't hold onto it. It never lasts. And he went plummeting down. And he'd come back to his fighting spirit, which was I always was impressed by until I couldn't do it anymore myself and I had to get away. And then he'd move between his fighting spirit and his God realm, but he never stayed in his God realm long. Most of the time, fighting spirit. And even when I got into Zen, he wanted to fight spirit me about Zen versus whatever. And then, toward the end of his life, he mostly just hung out in the animal realm. He mostly just hung out with... He started with one martini when he was in 20s. By the time he was 30, one martini a night. By the time he was 30, he was doing 3 martinis a night. By the time he was 40, 4 martinis a night. To deal with the pain. I mean, this is the human situation, the pain of these other realms. The animal realm dulls the pain. The animal realm gives you soothing, but it's dull soothing. It's not awake, alive soothing. So, and then when he was very old, this is a story that I think is, I kind of like this story. When he was very old, he couldn't get his own martinis anymore, right? And my stepmother didn't want him to drink the martinis because, well, for obvious reasons, right? But I would come out from Minnesota, we would take him out to lunch, and he would be in his walker, and my stepmother would be there, but he wouldn't want to sit, and we'd go out to lunch, but he wouldn't want to sit by her at the table. He'd try to sit at the other end of the table, and then the moment he sat down, he'd order a dry martini, and he'd go like, another dry martini. He was usually able to get 3 or 4 dry martinis in before my stepmother even noticed. It was cool. I was proud of him. I was. Sometimes we just need to indulge. Sometimes we need to be in an animal realm. We suffer. Humans suffer. So, but I also felt sad about his life. I felt sad about his life. So anyway, that's an example. of how we get lost in these different realms, these different harbors, harboring this anger, harboring this fear. And those harbors, as I was saying yesterday, it's the same water as the ocean. It's the same water, exactly the same water. That's what we discover through our practice of bare awareness, through our practice of bare attention. The same water. So now I want to come back to breaking it down, breaking bare awareness down into recognizing, accepting, restraining, and returning. Okay? So I'm gonna talk a little bit about it, and then I'm gonna suggest that you guys do a little exercise. And you can either do the exercise or you can not do it if you don't want to. Some of you hate these exercises. But you can just sit and think about your day instead of doing the exercise. Or your night. Or where you'd rather be. Or what realm you really like best. Okay, so this is kind of the way that I'm going to suggest you do it. So I'm going to talk about it and then ask you to do it. So first of all, again, if you're proficient at your stupid Zen practice, you don't need to do this. But even if you're proficient, sometimes something is going to come in. Something is going to come in. You're going to find yourself in some harbor that seems very polluted, and so all you're sitting is just being in that polluted harbor. That's when this is called for. That's when this is called for. So we can bring to mind some painful attitude, some painful reaction that blocks our openness and increases our feeling of not being connected. And then we can see as part of a recognition. Is it closer to fear? Is it closer to sadness? Is it closer to anger? Or is it a combination of all those? Or is it something else? And we can also notice, what are the thoughts? What are the thoughts in there that are perpetuating it, that are magnifying it, that are making it more intense? What are the thoughts that hold it in place, that hold the pollution in the harbor in place, when it's the water of the ocean, it's the water of the universe. But it's calling us to open up to the ocean, which is right there in the harbor. It's the same ocean. And accept. Recognizing, restraining, returning without accepting is not so good, because you repress stuff, you suppress stuff, it'll come out in other ways. It's bad Buddhist psychology, and it's not a very healthy way to live. So accept when we relax into whatever it is, the facts before us. So I'm, like my dad, programmed to achieve. So I relax into that. I relax into what's going on. What are my thoughts? What's my mood? What are other emotions? I just relax into that. Maybe as we relax into it, we say, oh, I wish that wasn't so. I wish that wasn't so. Then we just accept that too. We accept that too. I wish it wasn't so. There's a Zen saying, if you understand, things are just as they are. If you don't understand, things are just as they are. Okay. That's the whole deal, you guys. There ain't anything more. All this other stuff that I'm doing is just to help you come back to this. Right? So recognizing and accepting together. So two stories about recognizing and accepting together. One which I have told many times. One which I have never told. The first one. two meditators meditating by a tree in India, doing zazen, doing their own two-person retreat. Two-person retreat you can do. It's hard. It's hard with it. Hard to do any kind of retreat. It's just hard to do a retreat. If it's not hard for you, then you're just spending all your time in the realms, and you're. I guess that's not hard if you're just spending all your time in the realms. But if you're really practicing bare attention, retreats are hard. Folks are on their second day here, and we've all been struggling some. But that's part of it. That's part of coming back to, so we can open up and appreciate what is. Anyway, this two meditators under a tree, they're in their retreat. Let's see, what day should we make them on? Oh, they're on there. Well, some people are doing a 5 days, but I have to go do some other things, so I'm only doing 2 days. So let's say that they're at the end of their second day of their retreat, and they see that a bunch of people are leaving at the end of the second day, and the only 6 or 7 of them who are going to be left. So doing the retreat together, that could be possible. So then who comes along but Shakyamuni Buddha himself? He just comes strolling along. Woo! they get out of their polluted hell realm or hungry ghost realm. Oh, Shakyamuni himself. And he looks at them. Boy, they're hungry ghosts. Immediately attuned to him. There he is. The man. The man. And he looks at them kindly, and he says, "Can I give you boys support?" And the first one says, "Yes!" And the second one says, "Yes!" And the first one they both say, "We've been sitting here for 2 days, all day, except going to the bathroom. We've been trying to practice bare awareness in the bathroom too, just like you told us, even though there aren't any bathrooms here in this part of India. We've still been trying to do it." Well, I won't get into the details of that. That's for another talk. So, and how much longer will it take for us to return to original stillness, to open up to big mind? How long? How much longer? And Shakyamuni looks at them, and he looks at the first one, and he says, "You are doing very good practice. It will only take you one more lifetime." And the first guy swears and cusses, but he waits till Shakyamuni's gone, of course. And he swears and cusses, and he takes off for, I don't know, what should we say? What are one of those cities? And what's that city? Those cities in India. I can't remember their names right now. One of those big cities. Huh? Mumbai. Takes off for Mumbai. For the loose women and the alcohol and opium. Mumbai. And is never seen again. Right? And the second guy says, "And how long?" Second guy's a little worried now. You know? He says, "How long will it take me? How long will it take me?" And Shakyamuni, with his wonderful vibes, points up to the tree that he's sitting under, and he said, "It will only take you as many lifetimes as there are leaves on the tree." And the second fellow says, "Thank you, thank you." And Shakyamuni leaves, and the second fellow dances around the tree in joy, in joy. So recognizing and accepting. Recognizing and accepting. And the second story about recognizing and accepting is a Doberman Pinscher story. Do any of you guys have Doberman Pinscher friends? I always think people who have friends of Doberman Pinschers, they're more enlightened than I am. I want to learn how to be friends with their Doberman Pinschers, but their Doberman Pinschers don't seem to want to be friends with me. But I think I just need to use a little bigger mind, a little more bear awareness. Anyway, this is a Doberman Pinscher story, and the guy is told, is Doberman Pinscher has some disease, and the veterinarian tells the guy to give the Doberman Pinscher 3 teaspoons of whatever, 3 times a day. And you know, this is a Doberman Pinscher, so he has to, you know, open his jaws without getting bitten. He's got to put the spoon in his mouth, and it's hard. And he gets bitten a few times, even though he and the Doberman Pinscher are friends, because the Doberman Pinscher, you know, is strong and determined. And so it's very hard. And he gets his wife, and they still can't do it. And then he and his wife are able to do it together, able to get a half a teaspoon in the Doberman Pinscher's mouth, and then the Doberman Pinscher growls, and then they're scared, and the bottle spills on the floor. And then what happens? The Doberman Pinscher laps it up. He laps it up. He laps the whole thing up. Recognize and accept. Recognize and accept. But we don't want to recognize and accept. We just want to recognize and then contain it. Get it to behave. Get it to behave the way it's supposed to behave. After all, this is Zen practice, right? Recognize and accept. Recognize and accept. And then refrain. Refrain. But without accepting the refraining, it's just, you might as well be in the army. I mean, nothing bad with the army, but you haven't joined the army. You do Zen and then you think, oh, I've joined the army. No. Please, don't think that way. You haven't joined the army or the Navy. You can join the army or the Navy if you want, but I wouldn't recommend it myself. And if you're going to do that, just do that. Don't do Zen. Refraining. Now that you've recognized and accepted the pattern, we make a conscious decision not to let it keep running, either inwardly as thoughts or outwardly in words or actions. It's not denial, it's not repression, because we're conscious of what we're refraining from indulging through recognizing it and accepting it. And then immediately we return. Immediately we come back to the physical reality of our body, of our breathing, of the room, of the moment. It's all about present moment awareness, this whole deal. If you can bypass the stuff that I'm talking about and just do present moment awareness, that's cool, because that's all this is. But since most of us can't bypass it, most of us need support. Supporting. Okay, so now I want you to close your eyes halfway or three quarters away, find a position, and we'll spend about 5 minutes, and I'm just going to talk you through it. And I would like you to take a couple of deep breaths, 2 or 3 deep breaths. And when you're ready, bring your mind to some painful attitude or reaction that blocks openness and increases your disconnection. Bring your mind gently to some painful attitude or reaction that blocks openness and increases disconnection. And then notice what the affect is. Notice if it involves fear or sadness or anger or something else entirely. The affect may change and may not even be very visible, noticeable. And at the same time, notice the thoughts that are coming in, that are swirling around. They're holding that pattern, that attitude, that harbor in place. Just recognize. And as you do that, as much as possible, relax into the facts before you. the feeling within you, the thoughts, the emotions, relax into them. And if you don't want to relax, then notice that you don't want to relax, that it's too scary to relax, that it's too unpleasant to relax, and relax into it being too unpleasant to relax, too scary to relax. Just accept it with your open heart and your still mind. And if your mind isn't still, that's okay. Just accept that your mind isn't still. Just accept it. And when you're ready, you can move on to making a decision at this moment not to let this keep running, not to let this train of negative thoughts and feelings keep running. Not denying it, just not letting it keep running and bringing it back by returning. By returning. Returning to your breath, returning to your body, feeling any physical residue or discomfort that's present in the wake of this pattern, checking for any sensations you notice that you'd like to avoid in your body, but just being, letting them be, breathing into them. And if nothing stands out, just follow your breathing or your overall body. And with your breathing, just breathe. Let your breath provide company, partnership for any unwanted physical feelings that remain. And then include anything else in this moment, in the environment, the air temperature, the sounds. Invite awareness, so that you can open up into the spaciousness that's always right here, always right here. And then when you're ready, you can come back to the room and open your eyes and I'll talk for a little while more. And when you come back to the room, when you can often check, see if there's you can check and see if there's residue in your body that just wants to be acknowledged. Maybe there isn't any, but maybe there is. Maybe there is. So, that's just something for you to experiment with. I don't recommend that you do it as your normal Zazen practice, because I'm a Zen teacher. I'm a teacher in stupidity. And if you don't know what that is, then I'll tell you. But often we get stuck in harbors. All of us get stuck in harbors. And this is a way to deal with a harbor. This is a way. And if you don't include the accepting, it doesn't work. If you don't you need to recognize, you need to accept, you need to restrain. If you don't restrain, it doesn't work. The restraining, though, is gentle. It's gentle because it comes out of the accepting. Out of the accepting, out of the kindness of your own heart mind. And then you need to return. You need to remind yourself to return to the physical. In Zen, this is about physical practice. Physical practice. That's why we don't emphasize Buddhist psychology. But Buddhist psychology is there. We're psychological beings, so we shouldn't just repress it or deny it and be this great Bodhidharma figure. Maybe you can be a great Bodhidharma figure, but not very many people can. Not very many people can. Better just to be humble. Just to be humble. So Suzuki, my teacher, said, "Oh, this is just delusion, and don't be bothered by it." Say, "Oh, this is just delusion, and don't be bothered by it." Okay, that's the practice. That's the practice. And I'll finish by a story about my grandsons that I've told already. But I'm going to see my grandsons in a week, and I'm going to come back with lots of new stories, you guys. My poor grandsons, they see, "Oh, I'm waiting for stories." Grandpa's waiting for, they don't know. But actually, I love them, so I don't even think about stories when I'm with them. It's just when I come home, and I think, "Oh, I got to give a talk." So let's see. Oh, yes, this is a story that I've told about Ethan and Logan. So this is last year, a year ago, when Logan's 2 and Ethan's 5, I think, something like that. You know, I'm not that good at these, at the birthdays and stuff. But 2 and 5, okay. So I'm in their little apartment where they live, and they're playing together, and let's see. They're playing together, only Ethan is not happy with how his 2-year-old brother is playing. You know, 5-year-old is not happy. He's trying to get his 2-year-old brother to behave, and you know, his 2-year-old brother will not behave. 2-year-old brother is dominating Grandpa's attention the way 2-year-olds do. And the 5-year-old is not happy. Not happy. But then I get distracted by something, and a moment later they're both gone, and then Ethan is back, the 5-year-old, but Logan is still gone. And I say to Ethan, "Where is Logan?" Remember the story? I say, "Where is Logan?" And Ethan said, "I put him in the closet." And then we start hearing this wailing and this rattling. And I said, "Oh, Ethan." And we get Logan out, and Logan is worse, so mad. Oh, Logan actually has a little tantrum there in front of him. I got to hold Logan, cuddle him. And my daughter Erin says, "Well, you know, Ethan tries to put Logan in the closet whenever he can." So we know that when we try to stuff it, it backfires. When we try to just do Bodhidharma Zen, what comes out? The hungry ghosts, the fighting spirits, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, it all comes out. It all comes out. So we know that, don't we? But we still do it anyway. We still think make us a good Zen student. Forget that, you guys. It may make you a good Zen student, but who wants to be a good Zen student? Who wants to be that? That's not alive. That's not alive. We do that out of fear. We do it out of fear. We learn to do it, to get along in the world, to get along socially, right? And, you know, I don't know. Now Ethan is 7. I hope he's not putting his brother in. I think he's learned not to put his brother in the closet by now. I'll tell you guys when I come home. Because he never got any positive reinforcement for doing it. All the adults got really pissed at him. Well, maybe that, you know, that's at least the kind of enforcement. So maybe he's still doing it, right? So with practice, not thinking about our practice so much, but just with practice of bare awareness of our emotions, of our thinking, noticing when we're in a harbor, just being there, kindly recognizing it, kindly accepting it, kindly refraining from doing anything in the harbor to increase the pollution. By trying to get rid of the pollution, we increase it. Over and over again, we do that. Over and over. And just returning. And then we see that polluted harbor is the ocean itself. It's the whole ocean. It's free. It's untrammeled. It's always in motion. It seems like it's polluted, but it's got the same vitality as the ocean, because it is the ocean. How could it be different? But we've forgotten that a harbor always opens into the ocean. It may seem like it's just a little opening, but the definition of a harbor is open. Open, and you only need this much opening to feel the whole ocean, to enjoy the whole ocean. So I think I'll close by reading my teacher's comments again. To realize pure mind in your delusion is your practice. This is not pure in contrast with impure. Nothing to do with that. To realize pure mind in your delusion is your practice. If you try to expel the delusion, it will only persist more. Say to yourself, oh, this is just illusion, and do not be bothered by it. Okay, well, I'm not asking for questions today, because we have to get back to our Bodhidharma practice, right, Guy?